And if you're just tuning in, this is Weekends and All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz, and it's time now for music. And today, the evolution of a man known as the godfather of hardcore punk. Listen to Ian MacKaye's career through three phases of different bands. First, just after he finished high school, the unambiguous fury of Minor Threat. And then, in the mid-1980s, he started the more subtle and experimental band, Fugazi. Both those bands are considered seminal in the history of American punk music. Now, with his latest project, Ian MacKaye has shifted once again. The do-it-yourself ethic is still there, but the sound, something entirely different. These are the Evens.
So let's go out. Let's trust our weakened legs to conspire. Still life to aspire. When I run out of things to do, I do myself.
The Evens are just Ian MacKaye on a baritone guitar and his wife Amy Farina on drums. And don't be fooled by those harmonies. They often mask fierce lyrics. Their first album together in 6 years is called The Odds. Amy says she and Ian started the Evens years into their business relationship at Ian's label called Discord Records.
I was living in an apartment at the time, and I had my drum set. Fortunately, I was living next to a trumpet player.
Oh, that's
which
good, yes.
Which yeah, really right. made me feel a little more free to practice. But I did actually have my drum set up in my apartment. I think what had happened was he had offered for me to bring my set out and put it in the basement at Discord House so I could actually, you know, have a proper practice. And then one day we started to play together. And we wrote a song the first, you know, within moments of sitting down there in the basement. And it was, I think both of us were pretty taken aback at how easily it came.
I read that part of it came about in reaction to the way the alcohol industry seems to have taken over the music industry.
The band didn't come as a reaction to that. However, the way we navigate where we play, I think that we took that into account. When we started playing, I mean, one thing that had kind of come up is that over the years playing in Fugazi, I had found, you know, it was becoming increasingly clear to me, like the sort of irony. This is our form of expression, or my form of expression, and yet the only venues in which I was allowed to perform it was in these venues where the economy is based largely on self-destruction. You know, I mean, people may, you know, there might be some
talking
quibble.
About, say, alcohol sales.
Right, of course, right, into the bars.
And essentially shuts out anybody who's under 21.
Of course, right, which is incredibly ironic considering just what an important role music plays in 16 and 17, 18-year-old kids' lives. The idea that these people can't see these bands who are actually making this music, that shows you there's a deep sickness in that system. And Amy and I talked a lot about it, and we were thinking we should try to find a way to elude that, because along with that, with those venues, is the rock and roll economy, which is crazy. Crazy the amount of money it costs to put a show on. And so if you're trying to do a show for a low ticket price, you're up against it. So what we discussed was this idea of sort of finding a way to split off from that system. And one way to do it would just to turn down the volume. By turning down, it allowed us to just play basically anywhere. We played so many weird places, and it's so great to play in a barn or to play in a museum or to play, you know, in an art gallery or a theater lobby or any, because music can be anywhere. And quite often, when you put music into an unusual, untraditional space, in many ways, the music really steps up.
It seems like the song on this record, Competing with the Till, speaks to that. there's a line in there, our audience is your clientele.
Right. Amy and I played a show at the Canterbury Arts College in England. It was a beautiful building, like filled with these giant galleries, white wooden floors, perfect room for us, like in our little PA, perfect. But when we got there, the guy said, well, you're just going to play in the pub. And the pub was this little room sort of in a corner of the building.
Set up in the corner, consigned to the bars. We rearrange all the tables and chairs while the staff is playing
and there was a bar with the cash register ringing the till, ding 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 ding, and a pool table and tables and chairs and students having afternoon drinks, whatever. We said to the guy, well, these other rooms are empty, can't we use one? There was empty rooms, we're talking about 5 feet away. There was giant, beautiful, empty rooms. Said, can we just set up in here? He said, oh, no, you have to play in the pub. Ventilation is working. You tell by the overhead roll. It just seemed like this is so disrespectful to music. And I said to the guy that was helping us with the show, I said, let me ask you a question. If we were poets, would we do it in the pub? He said, well, of course not. I said, if we were dancers, would we do it in the pub? He said, of course not. Why is music getting kicked? I mean, the whole experience was such a mind blower. And I said to the audience, I said, mark my words, I'm going to write a song called Competing with the Till. Competing with the Till. Art and commerce have always been in a pitched battle. Early on, before there were bars, you had snake oil doctors going around selling tinctures and lotions and potions, all alcohol-based, and they'd go out into the frontier towns, and they'd have musicians, and the people in the town would gather to hear music, and then the band would take a break, and the doctor would come out and sort of pitch his various wares. And it's kind of the same thing now. I don't think these are evil things. I don't think all this should be shut down. I just think that music is a sacred form of communication,
yeah,
and should be treated as such, and shouldn't be just dismissed as just a way to sell things. And now it's not just limited to alcohol at this point, when you think about it. Because now what you're starting to see is music being suffused by advertising.
Mm.
And you're seeing giant corporations, car companies, actually starting like labels and things like that. So suddenly it's become, once again, music has this very weird role as being just an introduction to a product. It's too bad.
I'm speaking with Ian MacKay and Amy Farina. Together they are The Evens, and their new album is called The Odds. Amy, the two of you are, of course, married, and I'm wondering to what extent the themes on this record kind of reflect or amplify the things that you talk about at home as a family.
I think that there's not actually a whole lot of talking that's going on at home. It's hard to have a conversation when you have a
small child,
yes,
demanding all your attention. Does he like your music?
He does like our music. He's also not shy to
tell you when he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
What would rebellion mean for the son of Ian MacKay and Amy Farina? I mean, what would he have to do? Like, listen to bad music or?
Well, he wanted to be a police officer for Halloween.
Oh, that'd be rebellion. I see.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
I don't think we're not. People have asked that question, but I just don't think unless you self-destruct, that would be a form of rebellion. Unfortunately, it's one of the few forms of rebellion that our culture seems to permit. I remember being in high school and being struck by the rebels, the rebellious people were largely the people who were self-destructing.
And I thought, doing drugs and...
Yeah. It seemed like, what a shame. That's your only option in this culture, that you have to destroy yourself? And I thought, well, that's just ridiculous. But I haven't really thought about... I mean, right now, what does our son have to do to rebel? He has to take 25 minutes to put his shoes on. That's a form of rebellion that will drive you crazy,
Fair enough. Ian MacKay and Amy Farina are The Evens. Their new album is called The Odds. You can hear a few tracks at our website, nprmusic.org. Ian, Amy, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Our program is directed today by Brent Bachman and produced by Phil Harrell. The staff includes Lauren Silverman, Lily Percy, Amy Held, Acacia Squires, and Chris Connolly. Our intern is Barbara Strunt. The technical director is Daniel Shukin. At the operations desk, Tom Woodward. Our weekend web producers are Melissa Goh, Stephanie Federico, Krishnadev Cullimore, Steve Mullis, Daoud Tyler Amin, and Dana Farrington. Our reference librarian is Key Maleski. Mathoni Maturi is our senior editor, and Steve Lichtai is our senior producer. And for Sunday, that's Weekends and All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz. Check out our weekly podcast. Search for Weekends and All Things Considered on iTunes or on the NPR smartphone app. Click on Programs and scroll down. We're back on the radio next weekend. Until then, thanks for listening and have a great week.